Lord, I'm one. Lord, I'm two. Lord, I'm three. Lord, I'm four. Lord, I'm 500 miles away from home.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Mark. I was just thinking about that song today. Okay, so I've gotten some emails from people, and thank you very much for contacting me. And I've had some questions. I don't know if you tuned in or not. Hopefully you did. We talked about sex not long ago. Now, this is going to be hopefully a kind of a humorous show, but I will tell you that I'm going to try to keep this as clean as possible because I realize that I don't have it listed under explicit in the iTunes store, and I'm sure there's some young people who listen to this. I think there's only one word I have to use, and I have to euthanize it because, is it euthanized? Yeah. Because those of you who know me know that I can't say certain words, at least not in public, and that's kind of weird. So let's cover this. I've had some questions from people. In my previous, the last time I talked about sex, I talked about how I was pretty much a Virginian, if you know what I'm saying, through my teenage years. And so I've gotten some questions from people, parents, and what did your parents teach you, or what was it that made you so steadfast, and or made it possible for you to resist all the temptation, especially being I was a musician, so women were never a problem when I was, and I used to work at the Sheraton Hotel when I was 17, 18, in the lounge with a grand piano, and I used to wear a suit and everything. And I think we can all, you know what kind of people come. Not it's a bad thing, but you get a lot of lonely people in at nighttime. And it was a gold mine. And when I think about it now, I wish I'd taken up on it. But anyway, I've wasted it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't wish I'd done anything differently. But so I wanted to go over just a couple of things we're going to talk about. I'll try to get a lot of it in here as I can. I just got through drinking some soda. And so I'm a little high on sugar. So if I'm speaking a little fast, that's the reason. By the way, ran, let's see, was it 6.2 miles today? Weight is still coming down. I'm still on target. So the other day, I think I said I had a diet. I'm not on a diet, as you know. I'm on lifestyle change, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's get to the good stuff, right? So here's the deal. And by the way, ladies, again, okay, let me just say this. When I was a young person, let's just say 15 and up, and I was tempted. You know, you're on a date, and I think I told you most of the girls I dated at some point wanted to do the, you know, a little something-something. And this is when, you know, I used to be nervous about getting somebody pregnant. Getting someone pregnant was always my big thing, being afraid of. And, of course, I knew about condominiums. And again, I'm just changing the words so you can fill in the blanks. When I say condominiums, you know what I'm talking about. But I never trusted those things. I once saw an episode of Batman and Robin. Remember the 1960, I think it was 1968 show. Was it 1964? Somewhere around there, you know, with Adam West. Anyway, there was an episode where Batman and Robin were up in this hot air balloon, and it's at the end of the, you know, they used to have those cliffhangers. So anyway, I think the Penguin put him up there. You know, that was one of his arch rivals. And at the end of the episode, they show this woodpecker hitting on the balloon, and you know, it's going to put a hole in it. So I think when I saw that when I was a little boy, that pretty much shot my strength and my belief in rubber. Hold on. I know, now since I've gotten older, I know people say, look, Mark, first off, a woodpecker wouldn't be pecking on a hot air balloon. Yeah, sure, and I know that a hot air balloon would most likely be in a place where woodpeckers wouldn't be. Yeah, and I also know that they call them woodpeckers because they only peck on wood, but that image, and of course, I wasn't thinking about condominiums and stuff back when I was a little boy, but that image of them being, you know, blown out of the sky because of a woodpecker, who's a peck, 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 peck. So rubber and I just don't get along in terms of me having any trust for them. So condominiums to me was, yeah, but, So there you go. So you can see why I have a lot of issues from way back. All right. So, and of course, I'd go out with girls who'd say, you know, Mark, you know, I'm on the pill, blah, blah, blah. Like I trusted them, right? Never trust, gentlemen, never trust anybody with your life or the life of your children or unborn children, unborn children. And I'm going to tell you what I did, and then I'm going to give you some sage words of wisdom. Now, there's only one word that I have to say in this show that's a little difficult for me to say. I'm only going to say it once, and then we're going to use another word for it, okay? Because I just can't use this word. It's just an icky word to me. Here we go. Get ready. I wish I had a drum roll. The word is masturbate, okay? Masturbate. All right, that's the word. I hate that word. And by the way, just because I am a wordsmith, there's also another word called masticate, which means to chew, you know, but nobody uses masticate very much. I've used it a couple of times to blow people's minds in certain things, but that was years ago. Okay, so instead of saying masturbate, let's just call it the Bates Motel, okay? Bates Motel. You remember? Do you remember that 1960s movie about Norman Bates? Psycho. It's called Psycho, right? So we'll just use, when I say Bates Motel, when I say check into the Bates Motel, now you know what I mean. I mean, you know, masturbate. Okay. All right. Now, here's the deal. God, I hate this word. All right. I hate this whole thing. All right, here's the deal. So here's what I did. All right. I'm getting nervous. All right. Here's a secret for you. So when, I'm going to move forward in time a little bit, not from 16, but let's move up until I was, you know, a young adult, let's say 18. And I'd be out on a date or, you know, I'd go out with somebody, something. And, of course, the women I went out with had their own places and everything. I was always a big game hunter, which I think some of you already know. Big game. Okay. And so, you know, you're sitting there and, back then, you know, you're doing a little kissy. And I say kissy. I mean, just kissy. I mean, on the lips, you know, just kissing, blah, 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 blah. Okay. I was never a kissing kind of guy, but whatever. I know girls like that stuff. For me, it was always about touching her hair, man. That was my fetish, hair, hubba hubba, you know, long, just a lot of hair. Now, that's another story. Okay, I'm going to say, Southern women tend to put a lot of stuff on their hair, you know, like to make it look like cobwebs, you know, to hold a shape. I'm talking about natural hair, man. Now this funky dunky, put mousse here and you can't, I don't like, this is changing subject, but for record, ladies, I hate it when you say, don't touch my hair. If a woman says, don't touch my hair, I don't touch me, okay? Because anyway, okay, but that's, again, for another discussion. All right. So you're sitting there doing a little, you know, kiss, and everything. And you, I was usually like, well, it's been a good night, you know, because I'm starting to get panicky. But in those situations where I really thought, well, maybe this would be worth, you know, she's worth taking a chance on, I used to excuse myself from wherever the situation was, you know. Usually I could anticipate where it was going to go before we got to that point. So you kissy, blah, 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 you know, and you touch. And then I would go check, excuse myself, and I had to use the restroom. And then, you know, I'd go check into the Bates Motel. Now, here's the deal. There's an old adage that I've come up with. It says this, gentlemen. If you think you want to be with some girl, some woman, some lady, there's no way you really know if you like her right before crunch time. There's something about the male brain. I don't know what it is. Now, when you get older, when you get to be my age and stuff, it's a little bit different. I mean, yeah, you can still be led down a path, but at least you know you're being led. But when you're in your teens and early 20s, young men, you know, you think everything is so sound, and so you think, you don't realize that your chemicals are working against your common sense. And yes, ladies, I know women think, oh, guys always think with their, you know, don't think with their head on their shoulders. That's sad to say. It's kind of true. I can say that looking back over the years. And so I knew this way back then. And so not trusting, because, man, women look, you know, at the end of it, when you go to at the end of a party or, God, I could tell you stories. You guys wouldn't believe some stuff. But anyway, so you're at the end of the evening and you're with a nice girl or something. Or maybe you're not with a nice, maybe you're just with a girl, whatever. You may not even know her name very much. And if you're a musician or something, you know, I mean, I hate to say this, but please, you know. And you think, you know, it doesn't matter what she looks like. There comes a point when you're young like that, that everybody looks good. Looking back, I know it sounds really piggish. I know it, but I'm telling, guys, don't get mad at me for selling us out. But the truth is, ladies, everybody looks good when you're that young at a certain point. I mean, I guess if somebody, well, there are exceptions to every rule, but it's amazing what a guy can do or will think it's okay to do under certain circumstances. So what I would, and again, I knew this, because at crunch time, everybody looked good to me too, you know what I'm saying? Like, wow. Especially when you're, you know, a newbie at all this and stuff. So I would always say, you know, we'd be kissy kissy, blah, 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 blah. I said, excuse me. And I would literally do this. And of course, in those days, you know, it only took about a minute. That took about 2 hours, 2 days, and 20 minutes. But in those days, you know, I could basically go into it to excuse myself, go to the restroom, check into the, it only took about a minute to check into the boat, Bates Motel and be done with it. And I always thought, if I felt the same way after I checked out of the Bates Motel as I felt when I walked into the Bates Motel, then it might be something for the future. And I can honestly tell you, gentlemen and ladies, that 99.9999% of the time, if you took that little extra step before crunch time, and you know what I mean, I say crunch time, before anybody gets close to having anything about orgasmizations or any of that stuff, you come out of the bathroom thinking, what the hell was I thinking? I mean, I'm serious. I am so serious. And I can tell you there was more than one occasion when I would, you know, we'd be going hot and heavy. Whatever, especially, you know, there are times, you know, I was never a big drinker, but there were times, alcohol's never really affected me, but there were times, you know, I was always the good kid, you know, and there were times you're like, okay, tonight I'm going for it, you know, and the guy, you've been, so I would go in, well, I'd be, you know, with a nice lady or something, and we're getting all into the groove and everything, you know, let's get it on, let's get it on, anyway, and I'd come back out of the bathroom, with absolutely no interest. But of course, you can't say that to the nice young lady because you got to think about their feelings, right? Hold on, my phone's ringing. Hold on, I'll be right back. Okay, that was my phone. Anyway, so I would come out of whatever the situation was, and I'm thinking, this happened almost every time. I'm thinking, what the hell was I thinking? I mean, this is what I was thinking, like, oh my God. Sometimes it would be because, well, she didn't look as good as I thought she did. I kept thinking, if I got this girl pregnant, I would simply slip my own wrist. You know what I'm trying to say? The point is, my mindset after checking out of the Bates Motel was 180 degrees different than it was going in. And I realized early on that, well, the first time I experienced this, I didn't have the finesse that I should have had. And I think I may have hurt the girl's feelings. I was like, well, we're done. I mean, and the girls, you know, young ladies, young women, Lord knows we could do 10 shows on this. But there's a point, ladies, and guys, if you don't know this, let me be the first to tell you. There's a point, and I guess it comes earlier now than it did when I was a youngster. But there's a point at which young women know that they have the power, if you know what I'm saying. I'm just going to leave it at that because this is a clean show. But they have the power, and they know where they have it, and they know how to use it. And it's a provocative. They like to know, I think it's provocative for a lot of young ladies to know that they can get a guy, you know, turned on. It is. It's an ego thing, especially, you know, because let's face it, you know, I mean, I know for, well, not for a fact, I don't have any boobs, but I know that the bigger the boobs are in girls, I mean, everybody, as a tribe, all of us have things that we measure each other by, right? For guys, it's not going for guys. But for women, we know it's about breasts. I mean, girls with bigger boobs earlier, some girls, you know, they do better. Guys like boobs. Personally, I'm not a boob man. I couldn't care less, but hey, some people are. All right. So I forgot my love. I'm thinking about boobs now. I forgot my train of thought. Let me think. What was I going to say? Damn. Yeah. Okay, here we go. So anyway, young girls like, and young women too, like to know. They come to the point where they realize they have the power. I think that age, well, when I was a kid, probably around 15 and up, 14 up. Now I was damn near 10. It's disgusting. But I remember that after checking out the Bates Motel, and I would be completely uninterested in the ladies for that purpose, if you know what I mean. And they would try to do their thing, you know. It's like, and they would be like, what happened? And of course, you know, you're not going to go in there and say, look, I just checked out the Bates Motel. You ain't going to do that. But it was amazing to the reaction I would get because first off, I was never the kind of, when a girl said no to me, which, well, I'm not going to say it didn't happen at all, but when a girl said, I'm not sure, I'm like, okay. And I am amazed at how many of them said, well, aren't you going to ask them again? I'm like, nope. I'm telling you. Because one, I had the fear factor. Two, getting pregnant. Three, I had no safety net. And so, but I know that there are people, you know, guys out there who are idiots who, you know, and I know there are girls out there who take some people too far. And then they, I don't know about all that. But for me personally, no was always the default position. I'm telling you. I could tell you so many stories about girls who, I'm not sure, Mark. I'm like, you call me back when you're sure. Well, let's go home. We're done. You know, and they're like, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't be hasty. Maybe I'm being hasty. I'm like, nope. No, you're not being. But anyway, in those situations where I really did want to go forward, I always checked into the Bates Motel. And I'm telling you, this saved me. That saved me from tons of problems, I'm sure. Now, as I said, the first time this happened, I don't remember the actual first time, but I know I wasn't very tactical or politically correct. Call it whatever you want. I wasn't very smooth about it. So I learned that when you come out of the Bates Motel, you've got to be, you can't just come out like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like you went in all hot and heavy and you come out ice cold. You know, some of it was pretend. I mean, this is going to sound funny to you guys, but I'd come out of the Bates Motel or something and you know, resume the festivities, as it were. But I'm telling you, I was like, I already know, no, this isn't going to happen, because I was able to get my mind back, you know, and realize that either one, I couldn't stand her, or two, if she'd have murdered my kids, I'd kill myself, or three, you know, there were other physical problems, like, Jesus, you know, what the mustache on this girl, but the other big thing for me was, as a musician, you know, half the girls that would wanted to hang out with me were, they were more in love with the music than they were, or they mostly liked the music more than me. I came up with a couple other edicts too, but I don't want to give you everything in one show, because it's just too much, you know. So let me just keep it short and say this. Gentlemen, if you really want to know if you like a lady or girl, check into the Bates Motel first, and if you feel the same way when you come out, then, but I guarantee you that 9 times out of 10, you're going to think, what was I thinking about? I swear to you. And ladies, if you really want to know that a guy likes you and that you're not going to be, I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't want to be a teenager again or in my 20s for all the money in China. Well, maybe all the money in China. But I'm telling you, it was horrible. I mean, the adrenaline and the libido thing, ugh. I mean, I don't want you guys thinking I'm out the past or anything now, but jeez, man. Again, discussion for another show, and also, you know, when the show goes live and you can call in and we can talk, it'll be a little more, but I don't want to give, right now it's one-way conversation, but we're going to move on and move it up to this level at some point. But understand, ladies, that if you really want to know if a guy likes you for you, and not because you're pretty, or not because you have long hair, or not because you're wearing a red dress and high heels and high heel stilettos or fishnets. Although, I never understood that fishnet. What the hell is it with fishnet? I don't. Remind me to tell you guys a story about a fishnet date I had, and I just didn't get it. To this day, I'm still trying to figure this girl out. But anyway. But if you really want to know if a guy likes you, and if he's really going to, I mean, I got to tell you something. I'm amazed that even into my 30s, I would go out with ladies, and I never dated younger. Let's just get this straight. So when I'm in my 30s, I'm not dating somebody in her 20s, all right? But I was amazed at how many women would say to me, if we something, 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 they didn't use that word, of course. They'd say, will you call me in the morning? And I'm thinking, if you believe that there's a chance that I wouldn't call you the next day, why would you want a something, something, something anyway? I don't get that, truly. I just don't get that. It breaks my heart when I think of how lonely we all are and what we're willing to do to ease that loneliness. But anyway, ladies, if you really want to know if a guy likes you for you, then you might suggest that he go check into the Bates Motel and say, look, if you feel the same way. Now, of course, if you're dating a guy in his 40s and 50s, you might not want to do that, because once he checks in, he may not check. God help me, Lord, please. So anyway, but like, no, seriously, ladies, if you really want to know if a guy likes you for you, then you should maybe make a suggestion. Why don't you go check into the Bates Motel or something? And if you feel the same way about me when you come out of the hotel, then we can move forward maybe. I'll tell you, it's amazing. It's not about abstinence. It's just about clearing up that mindset. It's about, I don't know how the female brain works. I really don't. But I can damn sure tell you that for guys, especially when we're younger, when we get in that mode, arousal mode, that the brain in your head just stops working. I know I'm going to have some guys go, yo, well, maybe you're talking about you, Mike. No, I was really a level-headed kid, more so than most, and I'm telling you. But for my little technique that I had. Now, again, some of you may know I love Dr. Laura, and I'm not suggesting for a minute that guys, you start, you know, checking into the Bates Motel to avoid relationships with people. You know, I'm not saying turn to a pervert or something, you know. You know what I'm saying? But, and I've never understood the Catholic position that such thing is a sin. I don't really get that, but that's for other people smarter than me and above my pay grade to discuss. But that was really the big thing that kept me out of a lot of trouble. That and being paranoid and that just really wanting to love the kids, my kids, before they were born. I don't have any children, but I can honestly tell you, and this is going to sound strange, but for every girl that, I don't want to make it sound like I was a slut or something because I wasn't, but for the few women that I was, the main question was, if she were to get pregnant, would I want her to be the mother of my children? And I always measured that by, no matter where I was in the world, whether it's in Fiji or New Zealand, Australia, California, I have always measured that answer by the standards set by my grandmother and by my, what I have adopted to be my way of viewing things in a very traditional Kentucky, Midwestern, wholesome setting. And there are moments when I wish I'd had children. But and there's only been maybe one or two ladies in my lifetime that I thought may have been. But, you know, it's interesting to say that most of the women I've dated haven't been from Kentucky, and which is, again, we can discuss this down the road, too. But and Lord knows I'm not suggesting that Kentucky is the be-all, end-all place to be. If it were that great, I'd be living there now, and I wouldn't move back there for almost anything. I can't imagine. But when it comes to child rearing, I'm talking about traditional now. And I'm not talking about shooting your neighbors with shotguns. And I'm not talking about dating your sister. Fuck, if it depends on what your sister looks like. No, I'm kidding. I'm not talking about any of that weird back hill stuff that, you know, Southern people or Midwestern people are supposed to be accused of and making moonshine and blah, blah, blah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that you take the good things out of coming from, like, you know, families first. And when you give your word, your word is the most important thing ever, and honor and dignity, and women acting like ladies, and men acting like gentlemen. I'm always amazed with, especially in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of guys say they want a woman who knows how to act like a lady, and yet the guys themselves act like a bunch of pigs. And I've never understood that. And I guess it goes vice versa. I mean, if you want a man to treat you like a lady or treat you like a princess, then you have to act like one. And you can't have it both ways. You simply can't say, well, I want you to treat me like a lady and then act like one of the boys. If you know, there's a price to pay for everything, people. There's a price to pay. And if you are buying the right product and you use the right currency, you'll realize that what you receive for that proverbial money is more than makes up for the effort that it takes to get it. And so I have always held things by that. When it came to my children, which I never had, the woman I would have wanted to be the mother of my kids would have had to be agree with me on some very core issues. I don't think little girls need to be walking around with looking like hookers. I just don't. And I don't think little boys and girls should be talking about boyfriend and girlfriends. I have been in so many houses, so many homes in my lifetime as either a technician, a visitor, a guest, whatever. And I see parents already starting to sexualize their children by saying, oh, this is, you know, they got a daughter who's 8 and here's her little boyfriend, or I got a son who's 10, here's his little girlfriend. I just think that's sad. You know, we have a, Lord knows children, I'm not going to preach too long, but let children be children for as long as they can be. You know, there's really no need to force them into these mindsets. When I think about 11 and 12 year old boys and girls worrying about the relationships, it just amazes me. It does. And if that makes me a fuddy-duddy, then so be it. I'm a fuddy-duddy. And I don't think that children need to be listening to everything that goes on in their parents. I know a lot of parents, my mother did this, and so I fought against it. A lot of parents use their children as surrogate spouses, and I certainly don't mean it sexually or physically, but just emotionally, you know. I've seen it happen. You know, they talk to their children about everything that's going on in their lives and things. And when parents do that, they rob their children of childhood. They do. That was done to me. That's why I left home at such an early age. I think it happens awfully more often in single parent homes, but it's really unfair to do. You know, let children be children for as long as they can be. I don't want to change it. I start to ramble. You know, life is not about one thread, is it? It's a tapestry of threads. But when you start traveling along one, it's hard to keep from jumping to other ones that all intersect with it. And I think that's what I feel like I'm doing now. So I'll stop at this point. But getting back to my original theme, if you really want to, I don't know how parents would do this. I can't imagine talking about something with my kids or anybody. Hell, I can't even say words in front of people, especially, you know, unless it's nighttime or something. But for all of us out there, you know, you want to make whatever you do, do it for the right reasons, you know. And I know, ladies, you want to feel attractive, and it's nice to know that a guy wants to be with you, quote unquote. But believe me, there's nothing special about anybody wanting to be with you before they go into the basement when they have that adrenaline and that hormones and pheromones and God knows what. What is the thing that matters is how a person feels afterwards. And if this goes for all of us, if you don't feel the same way after you do the deed, then it's a sad thing. And keep that in mind. You know, sex is a wonderful thing. Don't throw it away. There are so few things that we can enjoy that I was going to say God, but I'll just say nature or the universe. You know, it's one of the best gifts we have, that kind of intimacy. And God, just to waste it on I've had so many women in my lifetime tell me, and I will say this, most of them I didn't date, but have told me that they thought of sex as being fun. And I have never understood that. And no, I'm not Mr. Everything's got to be serious. God knows you've all heard my shows, so you know I know how to have a good time, and I don't take anything too seriously. But to somebody say, "Oh, I think sex is fun," I don't think sex should be for a recreational thing. Me personally, I don't. I think it's okay to play checkers for recreation. It's okay to, maybe some people are even crave enough to run or exercise for recreation. But sharing your body with somebody, that to me should be a little bit more than fun. It may be an enjoyable, wonderful experience, but fun to me has a connotation that is not necessarily negative. It just, I just, you know what? To me, fun is enjoyment without commitment. And I guess that's okay if that's who you are and that's what you want. I mean, we all go through phases. But, you know, to me, there's so little. I'm the only me there is, and you're the only you are. And to devalue that for fun's sake seems to cheapen things. I don't know. Now, maybe that is preaching, but you know what? I've always felt this way. Although, admittedly, when I was younger, I didn't let it stand in the way sometimes. And then I went into the Bates Motel. But don't. You know what's really funny? And I know I'm running on long here, so I got to cut this. But let me just say this. What's really funny to me is, I know people, when they get new carpet in their house, they want their visitors to take off their shoes. Or if you get a new car, you know, I know this. If a person buys a new car, especially if it's their own car that they paid for, a lot of people don't want you eating in that car for a while because it's got that new car smell, and you don't want to get the car damaged. They want to protect that car, and the more valuable the car, the more you want to protect it. Well, don't you think your body is more valuable than a piece of carpet or a fancy car? Excluding the Silver Shadow, of course. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, or a Countach. Or a grand piano. No, really. I mean, I just, you know, we covet property. So, I mean, think about it, everybody. If you live in a, you have a nice house, or you have good, you know, People put security systems around their houses. They get dogs to protect their houses. They have home defense weapons. People want to, I mean, it's amazing how we covet property, and yet we don't covet our own bodies any longer. And that breaks my heart. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. What's the use of living in a $10 million house if you treat your body like a garbage can? You know, you let anybody...